This is Jim Semivan, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and this is a little Easter egg bonus episode. See what I've done there? So there is a guest on the line waiting. So what I'm going to do, instead of the normal longer-winded guest rundown, I'm going to fire through the guests coming up this April, so you know who's coming on, your questions that you can send in as well, what we're going to be talking about. But then I've got a guest on the line again, a little bit of an Easter surprise, and get a bit of a chat going, which I don't normally do on the preview pods, but I'm excited to do so, and it's a little bit of extra content for you this Easter. I should be in the next kind of 24 hours or so from this. So around about Tuesday, the 2nd of April, we'll have an episode with Whitley Strieber returning to the podcast. He'll be discussing his time back at the SOL conference in November, where experiences are right now in the UFO conversation, of course, discussing his own unique experiences and where those are currently taking him in life as well. I got a whole load of listener questions on that one too. It's available now on all the early access platforms with the free trials, all that stuff. So if you want to sign up, you'll get it early. If not, it'll be out on Tuesday, the 2nd of April for everyone else. Also, Darcy Weir and Mark D'Antonio will be joining me to discuss the Transmedium UFO documentary. Looking forward to that one, rescheduled from last month. Darcy will be coming on, been really popular, the documentary, really timely as well, given the Tim Gallaudet appearance in that, and also his white paper that's been published by the SOL conference as well. So definitely check that one out. If you've watched the documentary, please send over some thoughts and opinions on that one as well for Darcy and Mark. Richard Dolan makes his second appearance on the podcast this April. He will be talking about his upcoming work. Again, bit of a focus on USOs on this one. So really keeping that focus on under the water, I think, early April especially. Of course, Richard is very much in the know on what's going on in and around Washington. He'll be discussing the political scene when it comes to UFOs right now and a few other issues around the UFO topic. Incredibly popular guest, always time limited. Get your questions in early and I'll do what I can. Our rescheduled guest from last month is Ryan Wood. He had appeared with Richard Dolan around 5-6 weeks ago, discussing his work on crash retrieval programs and the books he has written. Ryan is coming back on in the next couple of days or a week or so. So definitely get your questions in. Ryan is one of the foremost researchers and authors on the UFO topic when it comes to crash retrieval programs. Very popular topic. One returning and one new guest to the podcast also is Kelly Chase of the UFO Rabbit Hole podcast and JC King, who's made several appearances, as you'll know by now, on the podcast. They are new faces at this year's Contact in the Desert event. That will be a popular one. I'm looking forward to speaking to Kelly for the first time and Jay for a returning. They are working with Untalkalypse Productions, which is their own production company. They're also experiencers. Jay certainly runs Experiencer Group and has talked about that. They'll be talking about all of that, Contact in the Desert, and a whole lot more. And it's nice to see some fresh faces at an event like Contact in the Desert as well. And two wonderful speakers, which I'm sure you'll appreciate hearing from. Again, returning to the podcast this April, isn't it? Danny Sheehan is coming back on the podcast around the middle of the month, late April. He is always involved in a lot of different movements all at once in the UFO topic. He'll be discussing all of those, where things are at in terms of the UAP conversation right now, plus the recent rally in NYC. He was involved with the setup of that one too. Listener questions, I think, very similar to that Richard Dolan episode, are going to be really popular. So please get them in early. Email is the best way to send them over, ufouapam@gmail.com. And I can certainly get as many in as I can. Hopefully another few guests will be lined up as well. Beatrice Villarreal had to reschedule last month through illness. Hopefully she'll be back on in the next few weeks discussing her appearance at the SOL conference and her talk. But listen, without further ado, a little bit different on this one. Thank you for listening to me plow on through the guests on the April shows coming up. If you've listened to Whitley, fantastic. If you've not, check that one out once it's released. Another returning guest is on the line with me now. He is one of the head honchos, one of the brains behind the wonderful graphic novel. If you're on YouTube, you can see them behind me right now. Estimate of the Situation, which is all about the UFO, UAP history of the topic. I'm going to bring in Tom Orzechowski. Again, have I said that correct, Tom, this time?
Yeah, no, it's close enough. Listen, I don't even know how to say it, so...
That's like me when I have to spell my surname if people are saying it. I pronounce it all different ways. But listen, you've got Tom. I got that part right. Tom, you're along with John Zoitis. Yes. You are both the writers and creators of Estimate of the Situation. A little bonus Easter egg for folks getting you on to talk about where the novels are at right now, the work that's gone into them. But for anyone who maybe missed the first time we spoke, do you want to just let folks know, catch them up, what is Estimate of the Situation and how did it come about?
Yeah, so Estimate of the Situation is a graphic novel based on the first inquiry into the UFO phenomenon. We historically source pretty much everything, so it almost serves as a Trojan horse for UAP UFO history, but it takes place in 1947. It's about the inception of the UFO phenomenon and how our military leaders responded to that, which we found was a really interesting topic. And we focus on one particular group called Project Sign, which was, again, the first government inquiry. And the conclusion they eventually led, you know, went down the rabbit hole they went down, and the conclusion they came to, which was that this was interplanetary. So it's a hidden chapter in American history that, like, we're trying to bring to the world, basically, and to just not as much educate, but educate and entertain people at the same time, you know, about this topic.
Yeah, it's a medium that I grew up loving, is that kind of comic book format, graphic novel format. I was massively into the Spider-Man comics when I was a kid, and I would go and back and collect some of the older ones as well. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for not necessarily the digital versions of this stuff. I know I'm probably old in that respect. I think, you know, folks these days are happy to have it. I love the hard copy of something. I love having it in my hand, whether it's the pile of books behind me. If you're on YouTube, you can see the physical copies here as well. These are very, very high end in terms of quality. These aren't just, you know, a couple of guys who've got together. And as much as it's a passion project, this is a lot of work that goes into these. Can you just tell me from start to finish, how long does it take for you to put together this before it's in someone's hands?
Oh man, that's a long, like the first one took over 2 years just because we had to do so much research and we didn't even know where to start. So we had to do all the prerequisite research and find the necessary documents. And we had help from people like Graham Rendell, David Marler, a bunch of other like big time researchers who, like, some of them even lent their archives to us. From there, you know, once we have the story, anywhere from like, honestly, a year to maybe like 8 months to a year for each issue, because we are, you know, it's ironic that you say that we are a couple of guys just doing this, but like, yeah, our attention to detail, and like, we're tired of like this topic being misrepresented so poorly, right? It's always kind of half-assed sometimes. And, you know, we want to give something that's, you can hold in your hand and feel the quality. Right. So, I mean, we're on the third issue now. We could be on number four really soon. And the last two have sped up quite a bit, but man, it takes a lot of work, a lot of moving parts, communicating with the artist, communicating with John, communicating with the second artist and then the cover artist. It's a lot for a passion project.
Yeah, and I just have to give a shout out to Ezekiel Anastasia, who is the artist. I think I shouted out Ezekiel back in the first episode when we spoke. Hell of a lot of work goes into these. If you've got any slides, obviously this is on audio and YouTube as well, but just to show people the quality,
yeah,
of what
absolutely
goes into these.
Let's see if I can present this one real quick. How do you...
I think I can add it for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So this is the, I'll describe it for the people who like don't have any visuals. So our series takes place in 1947. And again, the inception of the UFO phenomenon. The third issue we've been building up to, basically, there's been a bunch of sightings on the peripherals of like the minds of these military leaders. Like, you had Kenneth Arnold set something off, but it died down. So issue number three takes place over July 4th. And that is when just like there were explosion of sightings all across the country. And this famous one is the E.J. Smith sighting, Flight 105, where he's basically infamous for saying, "I'll see it when I believe it," right before it takes off. Very skeptical, talked a bunch of crap about Kenneth Arnold, to be honest. And then he ends up having his own sighting with his co-pilot and flight attendant. And I'll just go through him, and we just go through that process, what it was like in the cockpit with them when they saw it, based on the reports from Project Sign, as well as their own testimony given to the newspaper people at the time. And as you can see, we take it very seriously. We don't try to ham it up. And the funny thing about this is that like the truth is a lot stranger than fiction. We don't have to ham it up. We don't have to exaggerate. This is what they saw and this is what they experienced. And this is just a small taste of like the amount of work that we're putting into this series. You know, and like this is one of my favorite scenes, honestly. I can't wait for it to get colored.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that if you listen to a podcast or you watch one of these on YouTube, and God help you if you watch me on YouTube, I know the focus is the guests, but it's you create the pictures in your head, don't you? And you've got an idea of what you think something looked like, what you think a scene would have looked like, whether it was a crash retrieval, a sighting, an incident where like here you've got an aircraft encountering, you know, UFOs or flying saucers, whatever they may be. These guys have taken it for you and put those pictures down on paper. And it takes that kind of story and brings it to life in a different way. So if you love the UFO topic, if you love the UAP topic, then this is another way to kind of think indulge that and maybe fire up some of those other senses that you maybe don't use when it comes to it, especially if you're used to listening to things like I am. They're wonderfully put together. Do you want that other slide up as well?
Let's put the other slide. That's so this is number two, but this is colored. So like we've fully done number one and two at this point. But just like how they come to life via the colors. And again, like Ezekiel does this as well. Like he is a one-man army. So he has really come through. And some of these images just depicting these intelligence officers and the sightings are phenomenal, right? And like the reason we chose this medium too is it's something you can hold in your hand, similar to a classified document, which we also include in it. But at the same time, you can give this to somebody. You can give this to your friends. You can give this to comic book fans. You can give this to your kids. And like, you know, the story itself is very dense, so maybe they might not be able to absorb everything that's going on in there, but the imagery really brings this to life. And like it can set people down their own rabbit hole or like inspire their curiosity, which is really what we're trying to do. We're trying to present this topic in a way where people are inspired then to just, you know, go look it up themselves, go down the rabbit hole themselves, look up these people, you know, look up these sightings and see, hey, there's something more to this topic than just what you're seeing on, you know, an Independence Day or something like that.
I think I'm right, Tom, when someone buys a copy, I hope it's not just I'm special. I don't think it is. But you get it in one of these little brown envelopes, don't you?
We put the whole nine yards. We kind of try to give the experience of opening a top secret document. And again, there's real documents 100%. In there, which is, so we're not lying, but. It is part of the experience. And again, we're just trying to provide something that like, you know, people like when they open it or they hold it in their hands, like they notice the quality, they notice the attention to detail and our enthusiasm for this topic. And we're really trying to connect like twofold. We're trying to connect with people who also have a very healthy enthusiasm for this topic, but we're also trying to bring in and pull in new people who would have never looked at this before. And maybe they read issue one and two and they're like, huh, that's interesting. They have the names, they have all the dates. They can go look it up themselves and they find out that there's a lot more meat to this story than what just people have been talking about.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's one of those things, if you stand and talk to your friend or that work colleague or someone you like, I suppose, and you're talking about the UFO conversation, that can be, depending on the person, they receive it in different ways. But this is another way you could say, look here, read this. This is real. This is genuine. This isn't a fake story that's been written down, you know, using creative license. This is genuine research. It's a different way of putting together the facts. Read this and tell me what you think afterwards. And I think that's a really handy thing to do.
Yeah, there's a guy, there's a coffee shop next to me where, you know, like I hand these out all the time to people, like, especially if like they have no interest in UFOs, just to kind of get their minds working a little bit. There's one at a coffee shop next to me, like a barista. And I gave him the first couple of issues. I remember he took a week to read it, but when I came by the next time, he was just kind of like, hey man, did all that stuff really happen? I'm like, yes, you know, and that's the exact response I want.
Yeah, definitely. Can you just run through? So we're looking at, you've got the first two episodes out, number three, you're saying is almost finished. What are people getting in episode issue one, issue two, issue three, and issue four? What are those focuses again?
Yeah, so again, we're focusing on the inception of the UFO phenomenon. And so it's one singular story. So we have a Kickstarter now, which, you know, we have a bunch of tiers, but ultimately what we're offering is a hardcover format that has issues 1 through 4. There's another tier where you can have like all the singles if you want to collect that as well. But it's a hardcover copy. It's got to be over 400 pages at this point of like the inception of the UFO phenomenon and how Project Sign starts. And ultimately, you know, it's a stepping stone to maybe like a second part of the series. But right now where we're at, we like really want to focus on just Project Sign, who the people are, who's involved. And like, it's over 400 pages of just like, I personally think very compelling story and a very compelling narrative. And it's something that's going to last. It's something that you can keep. And again, our attention and quality and detail is something that like we do not compromise with at all. But the Kickstarter is live and there's about 22 days left. So we have a very modest goal. We have very modest tiers. We're basically just trying to cover the print, right? And a little bit of the artist, because we have self-finances the whole time. And we've had gotten support by coming on shows like this. And people have purchased the advanced issues while we're still figuring it out. And if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for this community, we would have never gotten this far. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, I'm really proud of, because there's, in a year, like, this has already hit the mainstream with Grush and everything in the last couple of years. This has hit the mainstream. More and more big companies are going to come approach this topic and try to make money off of it and put their own spin on it, right? They'll try to make it more dramatic. They'll try to make it X, Y, Z, whatever it is. This is a chance for us to tell this story accurately and on our own terms and through a grassroots movement, which I think is really powerful, right? Because again, this is a community thing, and it's there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah, if you want to just run through, and I'll just mention very quickly as well, some of the rewards. If you're, for example, $5, if that's accessible for you, you get the PDF of issue one. $15 gives you the physical copy of issue one and a PDF. It moves up. But I mean, if you can, and you know, money's tight for everyone, but yeah. The $75 tier gives you the hardcover volume of all four issues, which is just behind me here. That is very much worth it. Plus you get the digital PDF as well. That's a big chunk of money towards the guy's goal. But for me, there's some really good value in that at $75, just because I can speak from experience having the copy of that behind me as well, that you're getting a very, very well put together, chunky bit of, you know, content there.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, again, like the tiers, we are very modest. We don't really make money off of this, which is like one of the things that like people ask us all the time. Like, we basically try to cover our costs every single time and just get it out there. And hopefully, yes, it becomes maybe a bigger, more mainstream series. But until then, like, we want to tell this story on our own terms in a way that respects the phenomenon and respects the people that are interested in this. And for us to do that, right, like, we just have to do it ourselves, take our time and make sure we put it together right. So, I mean, the tiers, again, very modest. Anything helps, a retweet, a mention, a tag, all that goes a long way, because at the end of the day, we want to bring in new people to this topic and we want to arm them with the information of these legacy programs, these legacy projects, that, you know, they can take that and move forward and develop their own interests and develop, you know, or to go down their own rabbit hole later on.
And listen, I've just put in $20, literally, as you've been talking, Tom, to the tier with no reward on it. So just as a thank you, because you've been very kind to send me these over as well. So you can do that as well, folks. But obviously, everyone likes to get a little bit something back with these things as well. So just finally then, just to wrap up, Tom, what's your kind of final pitch to folks here? What are they getting? You know, what do you hope comes with this? You know, you making this a bit of a longer term series. What do you hope the impact is for Estimate of the Situation?
Well, what people are getting, I think, is hands down the best UFO story in any piece of media. And not only is it, I think, the best, but it's also very, it's historically accurate. So people, it's almost as if it's like a guide of sorts to UFO history, right? In like in a linear timeline, where like you will now have people's names, dates, all that stuff that you can go look for. But at the end of the day, it's a very compelling story. It's a high quality series. And I hope the impact it has, again, is it inspires people's curiosity. I don't want to convert anybody. I'm not trying to form a religion or anything like that. I'm trying to just get people to think about this topic. And, you know, mediums like this are a great way of getting it out there. And I would love to, like, you know, if we can end on there, I have a clip down there that I would love to play. Like, I went to the UFO rally in New York City. And I got a bunch of interviews of people there. And again, this is another thing that I want to stress. The people that go to these things are like, they're not crazy people. They are normal people that just keep up with the topic, have their own concerns, have their own theories. And contrary to what the New York Post did and Green Street did with their coverage, I filmed regular people, asked some real questions. And you'd be really surprised at the type of person that comes to these things. They are not crazy. And that's kind of another little bit of an impact I want to estimate to have is basically people that will read it be like, oh wow, there's something to this, let me check it out more.
I'll tell you what, and just on that, because myself and Dan spoke about this on the breakdown, and I'm glad I never got any hate for it, but I made a comment to say I was disappointed in, on the number for the turnout. Mm-hmm. Then again, it was put together very late notice, given, you know, what it was. There was nothing happening around it. You know, for example, if you want to organise a protest at a sports game, you make it at a sports game and you do it outside, you maximise coverage. This was very much on a day, get outside Chuck Schumer's office, let's say thank you, let's raise some awareness. And I said myself, I would have been there had I been in the area. It's a little bit far to travel for that kind of thing for me at the minute, of being across the water and all. But listen, well done to everyone who did attend. But yeah, so I'll have to add these in, won't I? But yeah, that should be fine. I will play the clips and then, yeah, does it just run?
Yeah, it just runs. It's like 30 seconds long. And again, like this is still a very grassroots thing. You know, the fact that 30 yeah. people showed up in the freezing cold, like people should take that as a W at the end of the day. And hopefully, again, things like Estimate, things like this, whatever, might inspire other people to organize maybe something that's a little better organized and has a better turnout. It all starts, you know, grassroots, starts small. And hopefully we can make enough noise where, you know, something like the Schumer Amendment does pass in the future.
Absolutely. Let's say I bring those in then.
When we talk about disclosure, there are many levels of disclosure.
Oh, there's no sound.
Of course.
Oh, no.
I think the problem is...
Tell you what, give me 1 second, I'll fix that. So the audio should be on this now, okay? So here we go.
When we talk about disclosure, there are many levels of disclosure. Of course, I think the problem is... that you can't just tell people, well, yeah, they exist, and yeah, we have a few... craft, and we'll leave it at that, because now, oh, they exist, do they? Where are they from? What do they want? Why are they here? And could they possibly affect me and my family? Because that's ultimately what people care about.
Yeah, it's just a very human moment, you know, very human concern. Again, getting to the minds of some of these people, like, you, it's not the crazy whack job that no one talks to that shows up to these things or has an interest in some of these. And it's exactly why with Estimate, we want to focus on the military leaders that took this seriously and the military and engineering minds that took this seriously. Because, again, it has a history of people who are knowledgeable, who know what they are talking about, have an expertise of actually looking at this, sometimes skeptical, but through a serious lens, right? And because they're human beings. And that's kind of just what I wanted to portray.
Well, listen, I'll put the link for the Kickstarter and Estimate site in the link for the description of this show. I hope everyone's had a nice Easter. Tom, thank you for coming on. I know we've both kind of jumped away from family time to record this and get it out there in time. So thank you, mate.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me on. Happy Easter to everyone that's listening. And again, just like watch the skies and, inspire your curiosity.
Awesome. Thank you very much, folks, for listening. Have a lovely Easter. Enjoy this. Go support, if you can, the Kickstarter for Estimate the Situation. If you haven't checked it out yet and you're in any way a comic fan, I promise you, you won't be disappointed in the slightest. Tom, thanks again.
Thanks, Lion.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque.